fence prevents their revenge. The hills are brown and blank and scruffy and look like the back of a velveteen rabbit. The bushes cradle the swamp grass, and the swamp grass is lucky to have something to touch. The chucker hunters at dinner talk about their good or bad luck, which means how many chuckers they were able to kill. When owls have good or bad luck, it means how many secrets they were able to see. The night is about to get dark, and the only light in town is too high to touch. But that kind of light won't help you see secrets. And this is the next morning. Both of these are taking place in Southeast Oregon, which is one of the most remote parts of the U.S. It's about this town where I was staying this night was about 200 miles from the next town, and it was really just a town that people used to fill up on gas when they were out there hunting birds, because nothing else happens down there. This is the following morning. Part one, the circle. "You gonna kill anything today?" says a voice from outside my motel room at dawn. Just a part of myself, I should respond, but I don't know that yet, so I say nothing. The voice belongs to one chucker hunter who is trash-talking another by asking facetious hunting questions like, "Is he going to kill anything today?" when he knows very well they are both going to kill something, and probably many things today, because they are chucker hunters, and they are here to hunt and kill chuckers. Sometimes life will give you signs, and it is good if you can see them, because they can show you the way and prepare you for what is to come. The most important signs are usually not labeled, so they are like secret signs. They occur in the physical world, but they map your inner landscape, and they are made just for you. Since they are secrets, you cannot read them directly. Instead, you must use feeling and intuition to uncover their meaning. The man at the motel asks me where I am going, and I say, "South." He says that first I should go north to see the playa, and I say that maybe I will. He says that, "Really, really, I should see the playa before leaving." And he smirks at me like there is something licentious waiting for me there. I ask if I can take his picture, but he says no, and then I remember you can't take pictures of prophets. So I drive 20 miles north on a dirt road to the playa, which is vast and desiccated and totally deserted, with flat cracked earth stretching on for miles. I see a blank sign and take the road it marks, which leads to the shore of the dried up lake. I walk out onto the playa and feel the earth. In my fingers, it crumbles like feta cheese. Under my feet, it is soft like a yoga mat. After a while, I come to a piece of wood that points to the other side and seems to say, "This is the way." Soon, I see a small white box sitting in the dirt. As I get closer, I see it as a toilet, which is a very strange thing to find in the middle of a playa. Stuffed into the toilet and staring up at me is a coyote carcass, grimacing and terrible. Nearby, a piece of wood is separated from its shadow, which seems to say that something is about to change. I go to get my car, and I drive onto the playa in a trance, speeding and swerving and covering my eyes just for the hell of it. I stop precisely at the center and get out. There's a huge and perfect circle drawn in the dirt. I walk into it, and my whole body starts to tingle, like some kind of invisible energy is rushing through me. I spin around several times and try to understand what it is. I think how the coyote toilet was the death of something shitty in me, something I no longer need that was brought into the open and killed in solitude. I think how the playa is like my whole life, and that this circle is the halfway point. Into the circle run tire tracks in various formations. Behind me, the tracks run in perfect parallel pairs. Ahead of me, the tracks cross and change places, and I wonder what this means. There are no tracks inside the circle. Behind me are the mountains, covered in snow and foreboding. Ahead of me is a low mesa, lit pink by the sun. Behind me is the past, the mountains like ancestors. Ahead of me is the rest of my life, with death on the other side of the mesa. I think about driving to the mesa, but I don't do that, because before you can know your future, you first have to live it, and for now it is enough to understand the landscape. So I sit in the dirt and I think for a while, and I write a little bit, and when I get up, I give the playa some water to help with the dryness. On my way back, I see the red skull of something that died, and I think about other things that have died. Part two, the gun. I drive south, across the beautiful, desolate wasteland of southeastern Oregon, and hardly see another car. I drive dirt roads through canyons, up and down buttes, over mountains, and across wide open plains. I am hunting down Willow Creek Hot Springs, which the motel prophet said I should visit. I get lost many times because there are no signs, and I venture 10 miles through sagebrush up onto the wrong mountain, only to turn back once I reach the summit, which is cold and gorgeous.